Hey everyone, Keith Cawley here with the Thrive Podcast from Bridgestone Americas. We are here again at CES 2024, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Nevada, where honestly, it is not just consumer focused anymore, right? We are in the West Hall, which is focused on vehicle tech and advanced mobility. And also part of that is a lot of interesting futuristic technologies, emerging technologies in different spaces, one of which is in an area that is exploratory for Bridgestone Business, and we happen to have a chance to learn a little bit more about it today because they are also at CES demonstrating their capabilities. So we're going to talk about Bridgestone Soft Robotics in this episode. We are joined today by Hiroki Nakayama, coming in from Bridgestone in Japan. Welcome to Las Vegas. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having us. Thank you.
Very excited to talk to you today. We've had a chance to visit the booth, learn a little bit more about what's going on with Bridgestone Soft Robotic Ventures, is specifically who you work for within the Bridgestone universe. But before we get into what soft robotics are, what Bridgestone is doing with it, let's learn a little bit about you. What is your background? How did you get to your role with Bridgestone Soft Robotics Ventures? Have you always been a guy focused on soft robots, or how did your journey come about?
Yeah. Actually, I have been working for Bridgestone totally for 8 years now.
Okay.
I joined back in 2015. I joined Bridgestone. And at that time, I started to work on kind of product branding for consumer tires and a typical from typical tire business industries. I was working some stuff. And then back in 2020, I moved to Dubai. Mm-hmm. And then I was working in Bridgestone, Middle East and Africa. Mm-hmm. And in that time as well, I was working on product branding for consumer. So basically, my background is really tire business, and then mainly from more product field. That's basically the background I have. And then when I came back to Japan, which is in 2022, I joined the Bridgestone Soft Robotics team. At that time, there was not Bridgestone Soft Robotics Ventures. It's not. Mm. It was not in-house startup at that time. It's just a department. And I joined to that team. And then that's the actually path I had so far.
Yeah. Did you know much about soft robotics when you returned and took over that role?
Good question. Actually, I really didn't know the details about that. I was really surprised when I initially heard. I mean, we have a soft robotics team in Bridgestone. And yeah, from 2022, I learned a lot of things as a new challenge as a Bridgestone. That was really exciting for me.
Taking it all in as you go, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what we want to help people learn a little bit about today is probably what you've learned a lot about in the last 2 years is what is soft robotics and Bridgestone having a role in it. So what, I guess when somebody, if maybe they haven't seen something as an example, let's do that first. But if nobody has seen what soft robotics is and you're explaining it to them, how would you explain soft robotics?
If we say soft robotics, that term itself was originally coming from really academic field. So some professors, researchers are working on soft robotics field all over the world, from US as well, from Japan as well. And then let's say in general, soft robot, that is soft robot. So when we say robot, maybe a lot of people can easily imagine that that should be metric, that should be hard, it should be fast, accurate. So we love that as well. That is a kind of typical robot people can easily imagine. But on the other hand, when we say soft robot, the robot is going to have kind of flexibility. It's going to be soft. Then at the same time, that means it's going to have adaptability to, for example, like us human being or some other objects around that robot. So the behavior that robot is going to show, that robot is going to do, is going to be something different from typical robot that people can easily imagine. So that's the basically most clear characteristics that soft robotics have.
Yeah, so it's kind of that concept of people think of robots they've seen in movies, what they've seen in television or in kind of creative senses that move very rigidly.
Yeah.
But when you talk about the flexibility, the agility, it's having the freedom, almost more freedom of movement, more natural to a human body almost, right?
Let's say it's going to be more organic.
Yeah.
Or it's not going to be machinally kind of fixed move. It's not going to be like that.
Yeah. So now as a person that I have seen it in person, right? I mean, to try to describe it to somebody, at least the robot hand, in a yeah. sense, is what we're primarily displaying or have primarily advanced to a certain degree. And I hope it's not a term that you will try to avoid, but the look of it for people to relate to is kind of hot dog fingers.
Yeah.
They're longer, right, stem fingers that come out, four of them on a robot arm. And I would love to understand why like that is, because I'm sure there's a lot of science and understanding on the design and things like that. But so for people who haven't seen, and maybe we'll be able to put some video for those yeah. who watch on our YouTube channel, exactly what these look like. But so the hands themselves are super long fingers. And why do we design it like that? And what capabilities does that allow in the robotics?
Yeah. Actually, before coming to the details of yeah. the hand itself,
sure.
there's a kind of background story. And the starting point was like technology thing. And as a Bridgestone, since we have been working on rubber material
yeah.
and some fiber knitting and those, let's say, material field, we have a lot of experiences as a Bridgestone, more than 100 years.
Yeah.
And we have the technology for rubber artificial muscles.
Okay.
So that is basically a starting point why we are working on hand. And then it looks like cylinder type. That artificial muscle is. Mm-hmm. And if we are putting air pressure inside of that cylinder muscles, it's going to be contracting like our muscles are doing as well. And some muscles are going to be bendy type. So we found that technology from inside of Bridgestone, from Kodaira R&D facility.
Yeah.
And then we felt some potential. Maybe this technology is going to bring some new value to the industries where it's needed. And initially, let's say now I'm touching on the kind of a story, how yeah. soft robot expansion started as well.
That's where we go next, right?
Yeah.
How do we get here?
And initially now, I mean, Otoyama-san, who is currently CEO of Soft Robot Expansions, mm-hmm. he started the project initially. That was not department at that time, just the project.
Okay.
And then there was no theme. But Otoyama-san found this technology, artificial muscle technology. And then by bringing it and by showing to the customers, a lot of people in a lot of industries, maybe he had more than 100 meetings, more than 200 meetings. And then we tried to look for some potential, what kind of value we can bring through this kind of technology.
Yeah.
And then eventually the point we reached out to was pick and press operation. There was kind of, there is still really visible pain point there
yeah.
in logistics industry or manufacturing industry where they need pick and press operation that is currently done by human being.
Yeah.
When we go that site, a lot of people are doing pick and operation. A lot of people are standing in the line. But looking at the future, that should be automated. So that should be more smart way of a process. So what's those people were thinking. So we started to think how we can support, how we can help, how we can solve that issue. That's starting point. And then looking back to our internal capabilities, there's
yeah.
artificial muscles. So then when we look at the bendy type of the muscles, if we're going to assemble them, maybe we can make flexible hand, which might have dexterity like people have. Then we started from that kind of hypothesis, and then we tried to make a prototype. Then we showed that prototype to the customers, and then that's how we started. So,
yeah.
And then maybe the hand that you saw,
yeah.
and then that you were saying as like hot dog fingers, that is really the initial prototype. And then by clarifying purpose and by clarifying the value, we updated our product design as well.
Because it's fascinating, right? I think in Bridgestone, we talk a lot to our teammates about our strategy, but then when you talk to customers, right, there's still a lot of people externally that know us as a tire company. We've been working on this, you know, the vision of becoming a sustainable solutions company, moving more into this world of data, technology, solutions, and telling that story as we evolve tires and beyond. So now people are starting to get us to know in that space. But then all of a sudden you've got something like this, right, which is a different area entirely, and you know, trying to see where it fits in the picture. But I know our global CEO Ishibashi-san outlines his vision for the next 3 years, our midterm business plan, and part of that is exploratory businesses, right? And that's where this would be living, is in this exploratory area to help grow. I have to imagine, you said you came into this in 2022, you didn't know anything about it. What was your personal reaction when you show up day one and you start looking at what you're going to be working on? What did you think about it?
Actually, to be honest, initially, I was like I was saying, I was really surprised when I came to know Bridgestone is working on soft robotics. Why Bridgestone is working on soft robotics? I had the same question as other people have. And as the story of the Bridgestone, we have long, long story for rubber and the material, first of all. And then, like I was saying, the core technology of soft robotics is also coming from that rubber. That is the first point. And let's say, what kind of point we have pursued so far in the history of 100 years? Through the tire business as well. That is touch. So we are always saying tire is only one part in the vehicle, which is touching directly on the road.
Correct.
That's why we are driving data business. We are expanding our business domain into a lot of things from that origin, right? If we talk about software robotics as well, we have started from hand, which is only one part in the robot that is going to directly touch on the object.
Yeah.
It's not going to be road. It's going to be object or people. So that kind of, let's say, perspective is really in line with typical traditional, let's say, Bridgestone's one as well. So after I understood in that way, I didn't have any doubt, or I haven't had any surprise that Bridgestone is working on soft robotics. I felt really strong bridge in between.
Yeah, the connection to the core DNA of the company, right? No, it makes a lot of sense when you can put it in the perspective of doing what we set out to do, our purpose, but maybe just in a different way.
Yeah.
But it's still serving, it's creating value, right, for society and serving a need. You were saying it was like pick and press is what you were saying, or piece picking, right, in assembly lines or in distribution center lines. And I think it's very important that we also kind of talk about, right, the idea that the creation of robots like this are meant to support, enhance the work of humans and make life better, easier, safer, right, for humans. And I think in particular, one of the aspects that I've seen in videos and some of the content around this is this idea of the shape, the size, the weight of the items that they'll be picking up. That's what makes this so versatile. Things that maybe would be very difficult for humans on a line moving through to grab, to hold, to shape, to move, the robot can help very clearly with that because it can handle different shapes, sizes, weights of all kinds of things. We talk about the hand primarily because it's the prototype in place. We have a lot of images and videos around it. Are there other use cases for soft robotics beyond maybe the hand that we are exploring in this exploratory business in the future?
Beyond hand.
Yeah. Or other uses for the hand, I guess, either way.
Yeah. So, yeah, if I'm going to start from hand domain, I mean, the domain we started to see initially is logistics, like I said. Yeah. And then now we are seeing manufacturing process as well. For example, automotive field in their plant. In that place as well, a lot of people are doing a lot of pick and press operation for example, parts. And food factory is also there. So those plant is also second domain. And the third one is going to be a little bit different perspective. But as a fundamental part we have in our philosophy is we are having kind of vision that coexistence of robot and human being. So we want to revolutionize relationship between robot and a human being. So from that context, I mean, the form of the soft robotics that we're going to create is not going to be just hand. So it's starting point, but we want to expand into some other forms as well. And if I'm going to give you one example of that, in IREX, that is International Robot Exhibition that was held in Japan in last December, we showcased completely new type of the soft robotics. We named it as Umaru. And we have, for that as well, we have collaborated with IDEO, the design firm. Mm-hmm. And then they had an office in Tokyo as well. So we have collaborated with them. And then, for example, in the project of Umaru, we have made, let's say, kind of artificial muscle hammock bed, let's say. So not this size. It's going to be bigger than me.
Enough for a human body or sorts. Yeah, okay.
And then that Umaru artificial muscle hammock is going to gently accept your body shape. Your body is going to be sinking. Your body is going to be grabbed gently by a soft robot. So we have made that kind of prototype. And then the purpose of it is, so in the context of our vision, like I said, so we wanted to revolutionize the relationship between robot and the human being. When we say the relationship between those, people are always expecting functional value from robot.
Sure.
People are using it. That is also nice, I mean, for some certain perspective, I mean, for certain purposes. But what if robot could move human's mind? What if we could find
scary territory there? I don't know.
What if we could find, let's say, psychological connection between robot and a human being? So that was the question we focused. And then we wanted to question that point to the visitors as well through that IREX exhibition. Hmm. So that is one of the examples from the, let's say, the field, apart from hand. But Umaru is just one of the things.
Yeah.
We're going to work on something new as well. So, but base is always, we want to revolutionize the relationship between human being and a robot.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like too, though, like part of something like, I have a lot of questions about the hammock that holds a human as you lay down, right?
Yeah.
But top of my head in thinking that is an unbelievable proof point of the idea of soft robotics. When people think of robots and they're so rigid and hard and stiff and metal, but the idea that you can make a robot, so to speak, in that context, but it's so flexible and you know, something that can be as, I don't know, soft isn't probably the right word, but something that can be malleable as a hammock or a cloth of that nature, that is an incredible proof point of the technology of soft robotics, it sounds like. Was that the feedback, I guess, that you got? Were people amazed that was a robot, so to speak, at the show?
Actually, the question we have most frequently got from the visitor was, what is this?
That's the number one, right? Yeah, that sounds right.
So in our booth design as well, in Lilex, we didn't specify the purpose of it clearly in the sentences. We didn't put those things. We just put the narrative as a prologue, which is really visionally high perspective thing. Mm-hmm. And then we just invited people to the room. We made a room, by the way. And then in the room, there's that soft robotics, new types of soft robotics is there. And that's the, what is this? That kind of, in a good way, the confusion.
I can imagine people being very tentative to get in it, right?
Yeah.
They're very awkward. How do I lay down in this thing, right?
Yeah. For example, when you for example, face to something new, everybody is going to be confused. And then, let's say, trying to understand each other. So that kind of process is also nice to make a new relationship. That's what we are thinking. For example, in a part of the design processes before making Umaru, so together with the IDEO team, we went to, for example, horse ride. Mm-hmm. And why we went there is, between horse and the human being as well, there is no verbal communication. There is no common languages. Mm-hmm. But by having let's say, having body interaction. Both of them are trying to understand what, for example, from human being perspective, what horse is thinking, how horse is feeling, or horse is thinking in the same way as well to the human being.
Yeah. They react very distinctly to human touch and they can feel emotion,
true.
Right?
So through those processes, they are making strong relationship.
Yeah.
So that inspired us actually. Hmm. And then maybe that there might be some common element when it comes to relationship, with new relationship with robot and human being as well. So that's the kind of the background why we aimed in that way.
Yeah, no, the thinking is fascinating. We could probably spend a lot of time with me asking questions about Umaru and the hammock. To visualize it, is it shaped like a hammock or is it flat and then it moves as you lay into it to accept?
Yeah, I think your latter one is more,
flat piece. So it's like laying on a bed and then it kind of molds around you in like a memory foam-ish type of situation.
Yeah, it's initially flat.
Yeah.
But when people approaches, when people sit back on it, I mean, robot is going to accept you, to accept you. So it's going to be kind of more
molded in.
Yeah, kind of shape.
Okay. Tonight, I need to go someplace where I'm accepted, and if the robots will accept me, then that sounds like a good place for me. I'm so fascinated by it. I gotta think about where to go with this from here. That we just don't focus on the hammock for the next 2 hours. You did win some awards recently, some design awards in the industry. What were those for, and why are those so important as you try to prove yourself, I guess, to go?
Actually, last year we have got a IF Design Gold Award. That is Germany Design Award. And then, and we applied for that award with the idea for our concept model. It's different from commercialized our soft robot hand.
Okay.
But it looks like hand, but the concept that we put into that new model, which we applied for Design Award, was more behavior as a robot.
Okay.
So that concept model is named as dialogue. So like dialoguing, like having a dialogue with someone else, looking at the run and then trying to understand around situation, ambient situation, and then robot is behaving organically.
Okay.
So that's the, let's say, the concept we put into that concept model. And then, let's say, the point that was highly evaluated from the award side, but also that concept things. So when we say robot's behavior is always simple, it's always same. For example, when it comes to move of grav, if it's metric robot, it's going to move in this way. But our concept of the model we have made is going to organically move depending on ambient situation, like having a dialogue with ambient situation. So that point was exactly the point that our side evaluated, and then that's the reason why we have got an award from there.
No, it's interesting. And for those of you that aren't watching on the video, when you said robots moving in this way, you basically used your pointer finger and your thumb, and we're moving them towards each other vertically, so kind of squeezing them together, and that, which is what people would think. A robot has kind of a hand that maybe just collapses in one, in forward and back directions, right? But the idea of it being able to use its space around it and be more circular and more flowing, that's the concept of the ambient environment.
Sure,
is that accurate? Okay. Making sure I understand so we can go find more videos about all of it and learn more as we go. We are at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. Soft Robotics is here in another booth. It's a Doosan, I believe, is the booth that the Bridgestone Soft Robotics display is in. What are you doing with Doosan, and what exactly are you doing here at CES this week?
Yeah. Actually, what we are collaborating with Doosan Robotics there is Mixmaster Moody.
Mixmaster Moody.
Yeah, it's named Mixmaster Moody. that is AI cocktail bar.
Okay.
And
it's had a line. We can tell people it's had a line the whole way through. It says AI cocktail bar, people are lining up. Yes.
So if you're going to maybe Google by that keyword or something, maybe you can check the video out, I think. But the basically what AI Cocktail Bar is doing is, so they are collaborating with software side, AI side as well. Mm-hmm. And then through the camera, AI is going to understand your emotion based upon your facial expression.
Okay.
And then depending on your mood, AI is going to think of suitable drink menu to you.
Yeah.
And then automatically, robot bartenders are mix the things up and shaking it like bartenders are doing.
Yeah.
And then that robot is going to serve the drink to you. And then in that demonstration, our hand is fitted with one of the robots.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, latter one, so the robot that is going to put the topping and then serve the drink to you.
Yeah.
That robot, with that robot arm, they are using our soft robot hand.
Yeah. We had one of our colleagues went through the experience yesterday, and yeah, the facial recognition kind of assuming your mood. There's a menu that it selects from. And then to your point, it's you're watching it all happen, mm-hmm. but it's the mixing and the shaking. And then the Bridgestone, we've actually got the B-Mark logo is on that hand.
True.
And it garnishes, I guess, is the topping, right? Whether it's an orange slice or
yeah.
a cherry or something. And then that is the contact point, like we've been talking about, though, with robots and humans. Our robot hand is the one that is handing the human the drink, right, that you're
yeah.
taking it from, creating that connection. It's a fascinating thing. How has been, I guess, the reception of it from people interacting with it that you've witnessed this week? What has it been like for people?
You mean the reaction from people?
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
everybody was surprised. Like,
well, they're happy they're getting a cocktail, number one. They're
very happy
to get a drink. But
but for example, at the CES, there are a lot of booths where we can see robots. Mm-hmm. But always, we need to keep the distance with it.
Yeah.
So since it's moving fast and accurate, so it's accurate, that's good, but it's moving fast and powerful, so we always need to keep the distance. But when it comes to Mix Master Moody,
mm-hmm.
you can receive drink from the robot. It's really close. There's an interaction in between. So that point is the maybe most surprising point for the people, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's been cool to see in person, and that booth at Doosan, right, about robotics in a lot of different ways in a lot of different settings. I think they have one that is like on turntables, like a DJ, spinning the ones and twos, right? So it's been interesting to see it all come to life. As we close, I guess, to wrap up, you know, this is very much something that is emerging and that we're pioneering to a certain degree, and exploring is why it's an exploratory business. So when we talk about, like, what is the future, it seems like the future is wide open to a degree. There's a lot to discover there. What do we think is next? What are we excited about that's in maybe the near horizon for soft robotics?
Yeah. So in short, what we want to do in upcoming years is we want to expand the world of soft robotics into more wider scenes,
yeah.
which is going to be more close to our daily life. Not only in warehouse, not only in plant. We want to expand our philosophy and, let's say, the value of the soft robotics into more our daily life. And then the aim we have in our team is the billion seen, billion touched as a keyword. Let's say the world of soft robotics, if it's going to be seen, it's going to be seen by billion people.
Yeah.
That is really nice. And key point is our soft robotics can be touched. And then by touching on it, people can feel something special.
Yeah.
That's the potential we believe. So million touched is also quite key, important point. So by having this kind of showcasing like we are doing at this CES here, or we're going to plan some other showcase opportunities as well. We're going to, keep having our close communication with customers, industries. So by having all of those steps, we want to, let's say, make a touch point with soft robotics. That's the basically we are aiming in upcoming years.
There you go. It's continuing to grow the awareness, the understanding of it. We're having that conversation, I think, as a society around a couple of other things, right? I think artificial intelligence, AI, there's a lot of just normal curiosity, number one, maybe fear from some people. They don't understand it. There's change involved. I think robots have always been seen as something that are so far away in the future, but this it's almost a little bit startling to see it so close into reality in the near term, right? So, but it's fascinating that we're in it. It makes a lot of sense in how we get into it because of the experience in rubber and understanding the material and a lot of the science behind it. So this is an exploration of what else we can do with it. And there's a lot to come. So Hiroki-san, thank you so much for taking some time with us. It's been great to learn about this. I'm going to go over to Mixmaster Moody, get a cocktail. There's mocktails and cocktails. There's non-alcoholic alternatives available for anybody that was looking for that as well. And we'll see what mood I'm in as we wrap up the CES week of the time here in Las Vegas. But thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks so much as well.
Yeah, and thank you for listening to this. I found it interesting. I hope you did as well as we continue to learn about different areas around the world of Bridgestone and our Bridgestone 3.0 journey and this journey that we're on to serve society in different ways, right? And create value all across this sustainable solutions vision. Of course, there's many other episodes where you can learn about different topics, maybe not exactly like this, but other topics to explore. Wherever it is you listen to podcasts, all the platforms we are available. And if you want to watch us on video, you can see us there on the Bridgestone YouTube page. You can also send us an idea for an episode, a question or a comment if you'd like via email. You can hit us up at thrivepodcast@bfusa.com. And always remember that we'll have more episodes coming your way from CES 2024 and then beyond as we're getting into the new year, the new season in 2024. And I'm Keith Cawley, always reminding you to keep on keeping on. And remember that at Bridgestone, today, tomorrow, together, even with robots, we thrive. Be good, everybody.